Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the fourth Mishnah, the fifth chapter, Masechet Gittin, beginning at the very top of Daf Nun Bet Amud Aleph. Yitomim Shesamchu Eitzel Bal HaBayit. So if orphans were relying on a landowner, meaning that they had taken up hostelry with that person, the person was watching them, even though the person was not appointed by the father, or the father appointed an apotropos, a trustee, that trustee is obligated to tithe their fruits. We will see why this is something of a surprising ruling in the Gemara. Apotropos sheminahu avi yatomim. So now we deal with a trustee that was appointed by the father before he died, obviously. Yishavai must take an oath, meaning when the orphans become adults and take over their own estate, he has to take an oath to the effect that he did not commit any malfeasance with their property. But if he was appointed by the court, he doesn't have to take such an oath. Abba Shaul says the exact opposite. If he was appointed by the court, that he must take the oath. By the father, he does not have to take the oath. And we will see why at the end of our sugya. Uraminu, we see a challenge to the notion that the apotropos can take trumotumas wrote. The pasuk says, Kein tarimu gam atem, you must separate tithes. Atem velo shutafin, that blocks out partners, meaning that one partner cannot separate tithes without his partner's consent. Atem v'lo arisin, that blocks out sharecroppers. Atem v'lo apotropin, there we go, trustees are out. V'lo atarmen sheno shalo, or taking truma for someone else's stuff without their consent or appointing you. So how can the apotropos in our Mishnah separate trumot? Amar Rav Chista lo kasha, kan l'achil, kan l'haniach. If they need to eat now, then you could separate trumot to masrot. If it's stuff that's being stored, then leave it be, and when they reach the age, they'll separate it themselves. Vatanya, apotropin tormin umasrin. We have a long brighta here that's supportive of what we just said and is going to give us a lot more. Apotropin do separate trumot to masrot, l'hachil v'lo l'haniach, simply purposes of feeding them now or selling the fruit now so that they can eat, but not to store it away. Umochrin lahen behima, they can sell animals, avadim u'shvachot, or slaves, batim, sadot, u'chamim, houses, fields, vineyards. For what purpose? It's part of the estate. L'hachil avalo l'aniach. Again, if the orphans need to eat, they can sell their stuff in order to have money to feed them, but not in order just to invest money. U'machrin lahen perot. They can sell their perot, yenot, wine, shmanim, uslatot, oil and flour. L'hachil avalo l'aniach. Again, you could sell that stuff of theirs if it's in order to provide them money that they need for consumption, but not in order to invest it. V'osin lahen lulav aravav sukav tzitzit, all of these mitzvot v'chol davar sheish lo kitzva. And then parenthetically, in commenting on that phrase, anything which has a set amount to it, la'tuy shofar, is there to include also shofar. Those are all things that we acquire on their behalf from their own estate money. Those are things that have a set amount of money. We can buy for them sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzot, and anything that has a set amount. Parenthetically, we say la tuye megillah. That is there to include megillah also. And it's all these things that they need to perform mitzvot. We take their own money and buy it, but only if these are things that have a set amount, as opposed to ein poskim alehem staka. We cannot charge them staka that they should pay, that they should feed the kiddi. Ein podin alehem etashvuyin, they cannot be asked to provide money for ransom of captives. V'lo kol davar she'en lo kitzva, or anything else that doesn't have a set amount. Another ani will come, another ani will come, before you know it, their estate will be used up. What is that? La tuye tanchumi avelim, even gifts that are brought to the avel's house, which again, there is no set amount to that, so therefore they can't be charged for that. Ve'en apotropin rishayin ladun lachu v'liskot b'nechsei yitomim. An apotropos cannot act on behalf of the orphans to go to court and to negotiate in order to obligate them or to merit them with their own property. Now, liskot amaylo, why can't they act to benefit them? If there's a claim that's going to get them more land, why can't the apotropos go in for that? What it means is, one thing, not two things, that they cannot go in to get involved in a court case that will obligate them, even though it may end up being to their benefit. They can't do it. We'll see a couple examples of that. They can't sell property that's far away, and then or take their money and redeem, let's say, the orphan's father's property that was sold while he was alive, and redeem that property even if it's nearby. Why? We'll see in a second. Or to sell property, to buy property when it's a bad time, when it's cheap, and in order to sell it when it is good. My time, why? You don't know that it's going to be good. Maybe the next time it's going to be worse. Maybe there'll be a blight or some sort of plague on the property. So you're risking their property. The apotropos doesn't have the right to do it. They're not allowed to sell fields of the orphans in order to buy slaves. But they are allowed to do the opposite, which is to sell slaves and to use it to buy fields. He says they can't do either. My time, what's the reason? Dilma lo mashafian, because maybe the fields won't turn out to be so good, and maybe the fields won't be clean. Meaning, maybe there turns out there'll be some legal entanglement with the fields, and even though real estate is always the best buy, this may not be such a good buy. They're also not allowed to liberate the slaves of the estate. They may sell them, and if the other people free them, that's their business. Rabbi Omer Ani, and we had this earlier in another context, the slave can buy his own way out. He's like he's selling, the apotropos is selling the slave to himself. So the slave can buy his own way out from the apotropos. But when all is said and done, and then the orphans become adults, they have to make an accounting with him. Shem Gamliel Omer, Eino Tzarich. He doesn't have to make such an accounting. Okay? Eino Osir Apotropin, Nashim Vavadim Ktanim. We cannot appoint women or slaves or minors to be Apotropin. Minana Viyotomim, Harshut Biyado. But if the father wanted to appoint his own wife or his younger son, who happens to be very sharp, to be Apotropos, that's okay. Alright, that's the Braita. Now, several stories. Apotropos, Tahavish Avuted Rameir. There was an Apotropos in Rameir's neighborhood. He would sell land and buy avadim. Veloshavkar Meir, Meir would not allow him to do it. So Meir had a dream, and in the dream he was shown ani laharos ve'ata livnot, that Meir, as it were, was coming to destroy, and you, the apotropos, are coming to build, which means in the dream it seems as if the apotropos is really doing a good thing. Nonetheless, Rameir paid no attention. Amar divir chalamot lomalin v'lomoridin. Dreams are irrelevant, and you're doing the wrong thing, and he stopped him. Hanhu bei trei. There were two fellows. De igri bohu satan. The satan got the best of them, meaning they got they became angry with each other, and they're fighting with each other. It seemed irrational, as if like satan had fired them up against each other. Dechol bei shimshi avu kaminsi b'hadi adari. Every Friday, they would suddenly get angry at each other and fight. Ikla Rameir Lahatam, so Rameir came there. Akvinu Tlata Beshimshi, he held them together for 3 Fridays. Ad de Avad Lushlam, until he finally got them to make peace. Shame de Ka'amar, he heard the Sutton saying, Vai de Afka Rameir Lahu Gavram Beite. Woe to me that Rameir has thrown me out of his house. This is just another story about Rameir and dreams, etc. How Apotropos Tavishavute Rabbi Shubin Levi? Back to Apotropos. There was an Apotropos in Rabbi Shubin Levi's neighborhood. He used to sell land of the orphans and use that money to buy oxen. Shimon Levi didn't say anything. Why? The answer is Savalak Rabbi Yossi. He held like Rabbi Yossi. It's a curious twist. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Miyamaylo Koreti Lishti Ishti Lushori Shori. I never called my wife, or my ox. El Ishti Beiti. I called my wife my household. Ulashori Sadi. I called my ox my field. So as he took Rabbi Yossi very seriously, and held that that means that an ox is equal to a field. So therefore, if he's selling a field to buy an ox, it's like a field for a field, and that's fine. Hanu yatme davu smichi gabe hisavta. There were yatomim who were living with a particular old woman who was taking care of them. Havilahu torta. They had a cow. Shalkla uzvinta nialayhu. She sold it. Atu krovim lekamed Rav Nachman. Now their relatives show up, and they came to Rav Nachman. And they complained, Amrule, Maya Vitaha Tizavna, why is she selling their stuff? She's not allowed to. The answer is that our Mishnah says that Yatomim who are relying on a Balabayit are like as if the Balabayit has been appointed an apotropos. An apotropos, if they need to eat, can sell the property. But what can we do? The cow's value went up and she undersold. The answer is b'shuta d'lokeach eiker. Rabbi Nachman says, I looked into it and it only appreciated value after she sold it. V'halo nikiti dami, but they never got the money yet. Oh, then you have an argument based on Shmuel's ruling. The property of Yatomim should be treated like Hekdesh. What's the deal with Hekdesh? For the Makni Ela Bekaspa. Until the money is paid, the Kinyan is not done. Unlike in Reshut Hedyot, that which is owned by private citizens, where the minute you take possession of it, the Kinyan is made, and then you just owe the money. So here, the Kinyan wasn't made. You can argue to get the cow back, and then if you want to, sell it at the higher price. Good. So now let's see several applications of that. Chamrei de Ravna Ukva Yatma. So this fellow was Yatom, and his wine... We're holding Meshchua Arba Arba Va'Iker V'Kamashita Shita. People came to buy his wine. The Apotropa sold it, and they bought it at 4 zuzim per barrel or whatever it may be. And after they bought it, suddenly it was worth 6, and they hadn't paid him yet. Atzul the came to Rav Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman because he wanted to get more money for it. Amar Lahu Hanarav Chanila Bar Yidi, that's the ruling. Tamar Chanila Bar Yidi, Amar Shmuel, Seitor in Kakdesh, Lamakni Elabakaspa, which means that since you didn't yet pay him the money, the Kenyan's not done. He can take it back and then sell it to you for the higher price. Meshoch Peir Miatmi. So now, let's go through all the possibilities. If you're buying Peirot from the Yatomim, and you do Meshicha, which normally in the case of a Hedyot would be the final Kenyan, and Ikur, and then the price goes up. That's the ruling we just saw. The Yatom can take it back, or the Apotropos can take it back and say the Kinyan wasn't done because there was no, you hadn't handed over the money yet, and now if you want to buy it at the higher price. What about Zul? What if the price went down? In other words, he sold the Peirot at a price of $10 a pound, and then it went down to $8 a pound. Can they say now, okay, if the deal's not done, take it back, we'll buy it at the lower price? No, lo yehekoach edyot chomer hekdesh. We can't say that a private citizen's rights are greater than that of hekdesh, which means that the hekdesh will always have, as we say, yadu al ayona, will always have the greater power, and the nichsei yatomim are treated the same way. Which means in this case, you can say you already took possession of it, you're stuck with it at $10, the fact that it went down to $8 is not my problem. Okay, so now, im shichalu peroliyatim, what if the apotropos bought perot for the yatomim? Now we're going to flip this the direction. Ikar, and then after they bought it, let's say at $8 a pound, the price went up to $10 a pound, they hadn't yet paid the money. So they acquire hedyot chomer hekdesh, the same thing, they're not going to be worse off than a hedyot, which means that the deal was done when they made the kinyan, and the money is owed at the lower price. Zul, what if they bought it at 10, and then it went down to 8? Sovrin ahayin rav chanilai v'idi, we think that that's the same thing as rav chanilai, to say, you know what? The deal wasn't done, and well, I'll only buy it back at the lower price. Rav Sheshibrei Ravidi said, "Haraahi l'ditu." That actually will hurt in the long run. Will hurt the orphans. Why? Tzimnin demitzarch l'peri. Sometimes they'll need perot. Nobody's going to give them, sell perot to them until they actually pay the money, and they might not have the money with them, and nobody's going to give it to them because they're going to say, "We're going to give you perot at a certain price." And we only have what to lose. If the price goes up, you're not going to pay us the difference. But if the price goes down, you're going to demand to pay less. So in that case, we say, you know what? You have to pay us for the price that you took it at. Now, Yahavi Yatmi Zuzi Apere. Let's say we have the opposite case. The Yatomim bought Perot and they paid the money first. Zul, if the price went down, like Oached Yerchom Mehana Hekdesh, they didn't do Meshicha yet, therefore, they now pay at the lower price, which means they either get more payroll or they get some of their money back. Aikar, what if the price goes up? Sovman and Rav Chanilai Ve'idi, we think that's the same thing as Rav Chanilai, which would mean that now they can claim, we already paid the money, and that means it's set at the lower price. Shesh Rav Ravidi again said, Hanarai Ledidu, that will also be to their detriment. Ta'atu Lememra Lahu Nisifu Chitchem Ba'aliyah. Because the people who have the perot will say, you paid the money, you know what? Your perot that you already own. If you're going to claim that Meshicha gives you the perot, then your payroll were already, I'm sorry, the fact that you paid the money already gives you the payroll. Guess what? Your payroll just got burnt up. All right. So now let's go in the opposite direction. Let's say that people are buying payroll from the Yatomim and they gave them the money first. Aikar, and then the payroll go up. Again, they should be no worse off than a hedyot. The deal was already done because of Mashiach. Zul, but if the money, if the value went down, again, we think it should be Rav Chanin Lai. Rav Shesh Rav Idi, again, how Rahu will do it? It's again to the detriment. The Zimnin, the Mitztarch, the Zuzi, sometimes they'll need money. Valeka, the Yavilu, Ad, the Yavilu pay rate. The people will say, I'm not gonna pay you until you give me the payroll first, because if the value goes down, if the value goes down, I'm gonna lose. So it's not to their benefit. Alright, so we have all the possible scenarios dealt with. Rashi, Anav Rav Kahana, Chatminan Ashtara Di'ime De'Zi'ira Yatma. We signed on a star of the mother of this Yatom. Umizamna Ara Lacharga Belachrazda. This woman was selling money to pay the poll tax and did it without public notice. And we signed on such a document. The Amri Nahardei, because the Nahardei, that's the row of Talmidim who remained from Nahardeya, who is now in the Yeshiva Mubadita, used to say, Lacharga Unzona Likvura, if you have to sell money to pay the poll tax or to pay to the food bill of the Almana or to bury somebody, Mizamninan Belachrazda, you sell it immediately, you don't wait for public notice, etc. Now, Amram Tzava, there was a dyer by the name of Amram, Aputrupa Diatmihave, he was an apotropos of Yatomim. Atu Krovim the coming of Nachman, again, the relatives came to Rav Nachman, Amrile, and they said, Kalavishu Michsi Miyatmi, he's wearing fancy clothes that he's getting from the Yatomim. Amralahu Kechel Ishtaban Mile, he said, Rav Nachman said, he's doing it so that people will listen to him when he wants to defend the Yatomim or act on their behalf. He wants to have a little bit of impression. They have some nice clothes. Kachavashati Mididhu, he's eating and drinking there from their food. Velo Amud, and he himself is not wealthy, which means that it can't be his own stuff. Right? So therefore, what is Rav Nachman answer? Emor Metziah Ashkach. Maybe he found a Metziah and found some money and it's his own thing. V'alka Mafsid. Ah, he's spoiling their property. Malahu. Aitu Lisadin Mafsid Vaslakina. If you could bring me witnesses that he's really spoiling their property, cutting down trees or doing something else that's messing up their property, then I will remove him from the trusteeship. Dam Rav Huna Brachavrin. Mishmei de Rav. Rav Huna, our Chaver, says in the name of Rav, Apotropos to Mafsid Mesalkinan Lay, we get rid of such an apotropos to eat my apotropos to Mafsid, Funa Amarav Mesalkinan Lay. Rav Shila Amri Lo Mesalkinan Lay. He says, no, if he's just making bad decisions on the property, we don't get rid of him. Hechotam Mesalkinan Lay. The halacha is, of course, that we do get rid of him. Okay, now the end of the Mishnah said that an apotropos Sheminahu Aviya Tomim has taken an oath, Eminu Beitin, he doesn't, and Abishol flipped it. So why, if the Aviya Tomim, Yeshava, my Taima, Ilav Dilei Hanamine, Have the apotropos. The fellow who was appointed the apotropos by the father gets a lot of pleasure out of feeling like he's doing a good deed for his friend who passed away. So therefore, he's not going to back off and say, I won't be an apotropos if I have to take an oath. In other words, our concern is we really always want to take someone to take an oath, but we're concerned if we say everybody who's appointed a trustee will have to take an oath, nobody's going to do it. This guy will do it anyways, because if the father appointed him, he's doing a favor for him, he feels good about it, he'll do it, even though an oath may be standing in the way. Minu beitin lo yishava, why? Milta ba'almahu da'avid la beitin. He's doing a favor for the court. If you tell him he's also going to have to take a shvua when they become adults and he has to settle accounts with them, he won't do it. What do I need this problem for? Abashalom erchiluf advarim. Abashalot, and the Mishnah said, flip it. If the father appoints him, he has to take an oath, not if the court appoints him. My time. Oh, so what's the reason? Minu beitin shava. If the beitin appoints him, he should take an oath. Why? Payanon de konafik ale kola de inish mehemnahu. Because the word goes out that this guy is a trustworthy guy. After all, the court appointed him as a trustee. He won't back off because of a shvua, because he gains a lot from that. But a father does, and you don't take an oath. Why? He's doing a favor for his friend. And if you say him he's going to have to take a shvua, he won't do it. Rav Chanan knows he doesn't gain as much. So it's really just an assessment of in which case he gains more, or he gains a lot, in which case the Shmuel won't frighten him off. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, what? Hilchata Kabashol. The halacha is like Kabashol, that only if appointed by the court does he have to take an oath, but not by the father. Tanur Belozim and Yaakov Amir Zevazei Yishavai. He says, you both have to take an oath. V'halacha kidvarav, and that's how we rule. Tanur of Tachlifa Marava Kamed Ravavau. Ptropa Shminu Aviyatomim. If the father appointed him, Yishava, Meshuhuno Se Sachar, because he really is a hired watchman, as it were. Amalei at Aitid Kava V'chaylat Lei. Have you taken a kav and actually measured what he got? Meaning, how do you know that he was paid by the father to do this? You can't say he is nosei sachar. Ela emam neshu kin nosei sachar. He's like somebody who's getting paid because of the honor that he's getting for it. Therefore, he's like a nosei sachar, and therefore he has to take an oath, like any other shomer who has to take such an oath in that circumstance. Okay, we'll hold at this point, and we're going to now deal with the knas chachamim on hezek sheino nikar, which we'll pick up in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.